First Peter, Simon Peter, a servant. First Peter, actually Second Peter. Second Peter, Simon Peter, a servant. That means someone who's not his own man, someone who comes in the name of another. And an apostle of Jesus Christ. That was what God wanted him to be. To them that have obtained like precious faith. So everything starts with faith. With us, through the righteousness of God, with us, same. In other words, I'm a servant, I'm an apostle to all of those that have the same kind of faith, with us, through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, not through the law, not through being moral, not through being good on your own, but through believing that Jesus was good for you. How many know that Jesus is good for you? He's not good for himself. He's good for you. Do you all understand that? Because you don't have to be good. How many of you have been working at it? You're not doing good. Because what God means by good is perfect. So only Jesus can be perfect. So he lives his life for you, then he changes you and lives in you, and then he transforms you by the Holy Spirit so that when you do good, you don't take credit. You say, that wasn't me, that was God. Amen? So you're not supposed to ever effort yourself, push yourself, feel guilty, whatever, even though you have, I think everybody here has sinned at least once in their life. I think everybody has. And some of you probably in this year, you've probably done it once or twice. Am I correct on that? Yes, yes, praise God. Okay, well, you could be on the one-a-day plan, or you could be once a week. How many are on the one-a-day sin plan? One a day. Okay. Even after you're born again, you don't stop sinning. I don't know if anyone has noticed that when you're born again, you believe in Jesus, he didn't sin, he died for you, but you still continue to sin. Did anybody notice that? And people around you still sin, and it irks you. Like, when are they going to get a clue? You know, and it kind of makes you mad that at least other people should fix up. Even if you're a bit slow, other people should be catching on by now. Does that make sense? Okay, Jesus, knowing exactly who you are, he remembered that your frame is dust, and not mad at all. Anyway, Peter's writing this letter. You don't have to believe him, it's just what he says. According to grace and peace, he says, grace and peace. Grace means two things. Grace always means mercy. Mercy, that covers your guilt. Doesn't change you. It doesn't stop you from sinning. It just covers your guilt. And grace also means power. The power to change you. You can't change you. Only God can change you. So don't help him. You can't help him. You can be a hypocrite, but you can't really help him. How many know that only God can change your heart and your soul and your life? Only God can do that. He can create you, then he can forgive you and redeem you, and then he can transform you if he wants to. Now, let's say he doesn't want to. No, he does want to. He wants you to be just like him. As a matter of fact, he has never saved anybody that he didn't want to also disciple and transform so that he could then glorify himself through that person. That's just part of his thing. So, no, he doesn't want you to sin. Okay, if I were to say to everybody here, stop sinning, would it make a difference? No, it would not make a difference. So, but I'm going to say it anyway. Stop sinning. Thank you. Appreciate that. At least for a minute. Could anybody here stop sinning for a minute? You can do it. If you could do that, you could do 2 minutes. Can't make 2 minutes. Okay, so we at least have a minute non-sinner. How many know that if you could do 1 minute, you could do two? If you could do an hour. If you could do an hour, you could do a day, a week, a month, and so on and so forth. So I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. So if anything happens, give God the glory. If anything happens where you didn't sin for a few minutes or seconds or hours or days or months or years, that was God. It wasn't you. Apart from me, you can do All your righteousness is a... So you cannot do the things of God. Only God can do what God can do. Only God can do. Now here's what God can do. He could kill you. Now that would help. Because you would probably cease then from sin. Does that make sense? He could kill you. Now it doesn't mean physically. I'm not talking about physical. I mean psychologically, he could so blow you away with his love that for a few moments you'd be stunned that God loves me as I am. And you know what? During those few moments when you're beholding him, the Holy Spirit is changing you. But the minute you look at you being changed, you will reverse the process. You know, the minute you become proud, I just didn't sin for 3 seconds. Look at me. You will immediately ruin the whole gain you had just made. You cashed all your chips in, now you're out of chips again. So I just wouldn't go that way. Grace and peace. Grace because he has mercifully forgiven you and then powerfully transformed you, and that brings peace, shalom. Be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. In other words, not through the knowledge of you being better. Through the knowledge of God, now listen to what he says, and of Jesus, our Lord. Now, lords don't save you. Lords are not saviors. So lords don't save you. Lords command you. But how many know that when Jesus gives a command, only the Holy Spirit can do his command? If Jesus gives a command to you, do thus and so, you could only hypocritically do it, but you wouldn't do it from the heart. Okay? You're not going to do it from the heart. If Jesus commands you, only Jesus can do what Jesus commands. Remember once he said, Jesus, oh, Jesus, good teacher. He said, none is good but God. Why do you call me good? You see, Jesus didn't even do anything good. He never did anything good. Never, never, never. Here's what he said. Oh, you call me good because you think I did that? No, no, no. I come in someone else's name. I'm not here in my own name. That's not me doing something. That's the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Now, did everybody get that? Jesus himself didn't do any good. He said, the Father who dwells in me, someone's inside of me. I'm a branch. He's the vine. You see, you're just a vine in a branch. The branch has nothing in itself. Did I say it wrong? You know, whatever, you're the branch. He's the vine. So he's the tree trunk. You're just stuck in there. And as long as you're stuck in there, you can get leaves and blossoms and fruits. But as long as you're looking for the leaves, the blossoms, the fruit, you might lose your union with him. Better to look at him. In other words, better for the branch to be tied to the tree than to worry about the fruit. Y'all see that? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Cut that branch off, and you'll find out how much fruit you can bear. Y'all see that? So stop striving to produce fruit. Rather, get hooked up with Jesus who produces the fruit, which is really the Father in him producing that. The fruit's out behind me. I'm just the branch. I'm just tied in. Does that all make sense? Does that make sense to two people? Okay. Well, these two people right here, that's wonderful. Praise God. Amen. Everyone else is going to hell. You're going to heaven. You are going to heaven because you got a hold of that. You are not capable of producing fruit. You're not a fruit producer. Only when you die by being grafted into him, looking at him, thanking him, worshiping him, praising him, adoring him, looking at him, forgetting you, dead to you, no longer thinking about you, no longer taking care of you, no longer selfishly trying to control and manipulate the whole world. When you give up and you just fall in love with Jesus, boom, all kinds of things happen. We love because he first loved us. Amen? You all have that?
Yeah.
Come on, I've only taught this 50 gabillion, gabillion, gabillion times. Am I not a good teacher?
Yeah.
All right, let's just read the Bible. Anyway, according to his divine power, see, there's where the power is, hath given unto us, you didn't earn it, you didn't do it, according to, as his divine power hath given to us all things. How much? All that pertain to life, that's being born again, and godliness, that's your fruit. Okay? So here's the vine, here's the branches. It's so simple, it's so beautiful. Here's the vine, Here's the roots down here. So this is God through Jesus Christ. Jesus, he's the vine, and you're the branch. Here's the branch. Little leaf, that's not a Christian. Little flower, that's still not a Christian. Fruit, now that's why he made you to have fruit. And who eats the fruit? Somebody else. You see, you don't even get to eat your own fruit. You don't get to enjoy any of the benefits of being a new person in Christ. But here's the secret right here. This graft, this cut, this sharp cut, cuts you down. That's what makes that tree have that branch in it, which all the juice comes way down here from God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, up through you to produce these leaves, these blossoms, and these fruits. In this case, a grapefruit. All right. No, that's not grapefruit. That's grapefruit. All right. So all of that fruit is, let's say one of these was love. Here's another one, joy. Here's another one, peace. Here's another one, patience. Here's another one, kindness. Here's another one, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You put all those fruits, where do they come from? That's Jesus. That's just Jesus. That's not you. You don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You don't have that. That's Jesus doing that. You're not patient. You're impatient. You're not peaceful. You're stressed. You're not joyful. You're miserable. You're not a lover. You're a hater. You're selfish. So all this kindness and gentleness and goodness and so on, that's all Jesus living in you, living himself through you out to others. And others then are enjoying you. They're enjoying eating your fruit. Yahoo! Yahoo! So there that person is eating the fruit that you produced. That's unfair. Someone else is benefiting by all the good stuff I did. You didn't did it. When anything good comes out of you, it wasn't you. You are a sinner. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 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 All your righteousness is a filthy rag. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Can you see that? You think maybe that's the Old Testament, not the New Testament? This is a New Testament picture here, where he is the vine and you're just the branch. Okay? So Peter's talking about something here, and he's going to go on and list 8 developments out of your faith. It all starts with faith. So faith is the connection. Faith is the connection here. This is the faith part right here. Here's faith right there. That's faith. Faith has all this capacity to it to produce all this stuff out here, all over this tree, to bless others. You're blessed first, however. You notice that before the fruit gets out to somebody else, the juice, in other words, Jesus loves you first. We love because he first loved us. We joy because he first joyed us. You know, so it's all like that. As you're looking this way, he's producing fruit this way. Does that make sense? Beholding him, we are changed. You can't change, but you can behold him who doesn't change, and that's how you change. You can't change, but if you behold him, you can just be a hypocrite. How many know you can be a hypocrite? You do have an option. You can either be a genuine Christian or a hypocrite. How many here are genuine Christians? How many here are genuine? Okay, how many here are hypocrite Christians? You're just outwardly showing. Man, this is a thin group. I've got so many hypocrites here. Okay, how many of you are immature hypocrites? You're not even a mature hypocrite. You know, thank you. I got at least one in the back. How many are very mature hypocrites? You are a real good hypocrite. Amen. Praise God. That's a blessing. You guys are crazy. So, how many of you here are happy all the time? All the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So that's all the time. How many are all the time rejoicing? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How many are always rejoicing? I mean, no matter what, no matter how bad the situation, you actually rejoice even in hard times. How many have learned that? when bad times come, you rejoice. Let's say you sin. Can you rejoice when you sin? See, if you can't rejoice when you sin, when can you rejoice? You know, that's okay. You're not rejoicing because you're good. You're rejoicing because he's good. You're not loving because you love. You're loving because he who first loved, loved to you and then through you. He did the loving. To God be the glory. So, stop working. Enter into his rest. Now, you have nothing to do with that. You can't even, by the way, do that. You have to labor to not labor. Because most of you are real laborers, which produce zero. You know, you got in the marriage to make it work, and it failed. Isn't that funny? You know, because you made a promise. Remember when you made a promise? It was silly of you. But you made a promise. I promise, till death us do part. You didn't know how quick death could come. You had no idea. Because you're both going to fight for control. You're both going to fight for control. Amen? And even though women are shorter, they're fiercer. I'm surprised how hard Peggy will fight. She's going to be more moral, more smart, more powerful than me. That is ridiculous. I mean, it should be a no contest. But as little as she is, and I deliberately married a little one, so I could, you know, win. I oversold, definitely oversold. Now, God wants to get all the glory. Why? So he can give it to you. So he can give it to you. Not pay you as a wage. Give it to you. You're not going to be good. You've never been good. Jesus was not good. He was never moral. Never. No matter what you think, you're wrong. There is no such thing as moral. Moral is just hypocrite lying. When you're moral, that means you're behaving yourself on the outside. There's no heart in that. Your heart's not in that. You still are thinking of you. And you can find that out by doing something for someone else and then saying you don't want any recognition for it. And then when they don't, and they actually call you up and stab you for that, that's when you go, praise the Lord. Or you feel sorry for yourself. And you go like this. I'm never going to help that person again. I'm not going to. You know, what good does it do to love people? Look what they do. Y'all don't think that's funny. You see, all God's ever wanted you to do is just come to an end of yourself. Stop being God. Stop being good. Stop doing what only God can do. You cannot be good. You'll never be good. You haven't been good. You don't even want to be good. You have no capacity to be good. God is good. Only God is good. None is good but God. That's it. Because he's God. And he doesn't want you to make an effort to work at it, to whatever. Now you say, but he said to do it. Oh, I see. That's your problem. That God said, be good. That's right, he did. He was kidding. No, he was. He was kidding. Well, God doesn't kid. Okay, so he wasn't kidding. But he didn't mean what you thought he meant. You're wrong about the interpretation of those words. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you think God meant that? He meant it? All right. Now, let's watch very carefully. Did that stop people? And Jesus even said it this way. Even if you've done it in your heart, you're liable to the same judgment. It's interesting. So, even if outwardly you didn't do it, inwardly you did do it. That's what he's saying. Everybody that's ever lived is full of anger, lust, bitterness, jealousy, etc. Did you know that? Have you discovered that about yourself? Oh, even though you didn't do it on the outside and you thought you should get some credit for that, that was just you being a liar and a hypocrite. Because secretly you wanted also to abuse other people and use them for your own purposes. I'm not hearing any amens. Do we not have any Baptists here? Amen, Pastor Jim. Amen. Praise God. You see, it's okay that you have all those thoughts, all those feelings, and even have done those deeds or not did those deeds and then thought you were better because you didn't do them. That was just you with your rational brain or your upbringing or whatever it was that you didn't do it outwardly, but Jesus said, out of the heart cometh murder, adultery, all kinds of hatred and so on. Nothing good. Nothing good comes out of the heart of man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that true? I haven't even gotten to the message yet. This is just kind of background to make sure we're all on the same page, and we're not. We're not on the same page. Because you have not yet agreed that you are a wicked, shallow, nasty person. How many are wicked? How many are shallow? How many are nasty? How many are hypocrites, liars, phonies, fakes? Now, you see, now we're all one. I feel better. I feel like I'm at home. I feel like I'm at home. I like liars. I do, because that's all you got. So I like liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, you see what I'm saying? All right, now, so the Bible is not joking when it says this stuff. It's just that ministers don't usually teach this, because usually what they teach is behave yourself. Most ministers, 99.999, are into getting nice people. I'm not. I want nasty people, and thank God I've gotten exactly what I wanted. I have. I want sinful, nasty, terrible people. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Just starting right here with Debbie. I'm so blessed. You know, you're exactly what I was hoping for. You see how happy I am? I'm in heaven. What? I got exactly what I want. I'm always happy. Psychologically, not just spiritually. I'm talking about I'm happy. Why? Because Jesus loves me. Not as I ought to be, as I am. And any change that takes place in me, he did it. So all he did up here was graft me in. I was a dead branch producing dead stuff, and he grafted me in, and life came into me. All the life is not from me. Jesus said, the Father hath given me life in myself. You don't have any life in yourself. When he calls you to do something, you don't have any life to do it. You don't have any capacity to do it. So your identity creates that capacity by being in me. When you get the in me, not any longer in Adam, not any longer in yourself, not any longer in man, not any longer in this world. When you get the different in me, then you have capacity. Now you're able to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Only you didn't do it. It's the one you're in that did it. It's whatever you're in. So are you in trouble or are you in Jesus? How many are in trouble? You see, you can be in all the trouble you want to, but get in Jesus and you're not in trouble. You're now in Jesus. And Jesus can take away, remove all the trouble. That's all he's ever wanted. He says, come, relax. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Apparently, Jesus is not into, I'll beat you up. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll put a real burden on you. That's not Jesus. Jesus is into love, right? Unconditional love, no condition on your part. All you that labor and are heavy laden, you're burdened down, you're already depressed, you're already stressed out. And Jesus says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. How heavy is yours? It's light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not hard. What do you have to do? Nothing. Wow, I'll take it. So Jesus' burden, it's like a yoke. Here's one big horse, and here's you, a little bitty pony. And there's no weight on you as you're walking around the little mill that's grinding the grain or whatever. The little pony is just trotting along, doing nothing. But Jesus is doing all the pull. You see this? Jesus is doing all the pulling. And the little pony is saying to the other free ponies out there, look what we're doing. And the other ponies are doing, you're doing nothing. The other guy's doing it all. Jesus does it all. You all aware of that? God not only creates you, then he redeems you, then he transforms you, then he perfects you, and he makes you perfect. A bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's going to be our church. We will have a church without any spots, any wrinkles, any sins, any blemishes, nothing. How many know we're not quite there yet? It could take another week or two, but we're going to get there, but we're not there yet. Every man mature in Christ. How many here are already mature? None. Oh my gosh. I guess I'm alone. I'm mature, surely. Peg, tell them I'm mature. Oh, there's one back there. Matthew, me and Matthew. How old are you, Matthew? Almost five? Me and Matthew. Perfect. You weren't distinguishing us, were you? Regrouping. It's good. All right. Now, this is not... Now, here's how you read it. You shall be perfect, for I, the Lord, am perfect. No, no, no. Listen again. You shall be perfect because I, the Lord, am perfect. In other words, I'm going to make you perfect. Did you hear that difference? I turned it from a command into a promise, from the imperative mood into the indicative mood. Did you see how I did it? Listen carefully. You shall be perfect, for I, the Lord, am perfect. Now that puts the weight on you, all the burdens on you. Here's another way. You shall be perfect, for I, the Lord, am perfect. In other words, I'm promising that the good work I began in you, I will surely complete, finish, by the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You will be perfect. Do you believe that? It's not a matter of obedience, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe that? If you believe, you shall see. Faith is the connection, the union, inside between the trunk and the branch. Fruit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. All of that fruit doesn't come from you doing it. It comes from Him doing it for you. That's the first part of the branch. Then in you, that's your character. And then through you, that's your conduct on the outside. How many know that you aren't finished yet? You're still outer court Christians, just barely connected. Kind of some of you are just like a thread hanging on, you know, barely touching the tree. Got some, you know, Band-Aids and scotch tape holding it on. But you're not producing a lot of fruit yet. Why? Because you don't produce fruit. It's all the union. The union's the problem. There's no problem. It can be a dead, you can have a dead branch, completely dead. You who are dead in sin will be made alive through Jesus' promise. He can do anything. He can even take a dead branch, He can take a harlot and turn her into a bride, spotless. Isn't that amazing? He can take a dead man and make him come alive. He can take a fruitless person and make them fruitful, a joyless person and give them joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And that could happen in a second, by the way. Isn't that amazing how God can do that? Jesus dying on that cross, apparently there's a lot of fruit on that tree. It looks like a bare tree. But apparently, the only thing I can see on there is all my sins nailed to that cross that killed him. And I'll bet he would be mad at that. He'd probably be really angry at me for doing that. I killed him. My sins killed him. I don't know if any of the rest of you contributed or not. Norman and I contributed to his death. Did anyone else contribute a little bit? A little bit? You had a little part? Okay, good little part. Were there any more major contributions? Did anyone make a major contribution on this? Oh, praise God. No wonder the guy was died. And I don't know, he could get really mad at that. But you know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In other words, I'm not under any obligation to die. They are. But I want to die for them. I want to die for them. I want to die for them. Is that wrong of God to want to die for you? Is that wrong? He gave you a law. Remember He gave you the law? You shall be perfect. But now watch what He does. He puts that on Jesus. Oh, I didn't mean you. I meant Jesus in you. Jesus for you. I meant Jesus doing it for you. So the law was given to Jesus, never to you. Did you see that? In other words, Jesus died for all your sins. You sinned, so you must die. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. She sinned, but let me die. I'll die for Peggy. I'll die for Ed. I'll die for Barbara. I'll die for Sandy. You know, let me die for all of them. Everybody, just pay for everybody. Prepaid. What about Adolf Hitler? Yes. What about Mao Zedong? Yes. What about Daimler, whatever his name is? Yes. He died for everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody qualifies. It doesn't say, I died for the church. For God so loved the church that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Paid for everybody. prepaid. You can just walk right in. Isn't that amazing? All you have to do is not do anything good. All you have to do is admit you never did anything good. That's all you have to do, is do nothing. You have to be a sinner who never did anything he said to do. Is there anybody here who qualifies? I do. That's exactly me. That was exactly me. I was the classic case of a rotten, worthless person. My mother tried to abort me 4 times. That's a piece of junk. Just get rid of me. And I thank God for that. Thank God. I do. It didn't work. My mom was such a poor sinner, it didn't even work. She was not clever enough, even with grandmother's help. Now try it this way this time. And she told me all the ways that they tried to get rid of me. They should have worked. But I was a clever little guy. And I was real small and fast. When that juice came in and those sticks and all that stuff, you know, I was able to dodge it. And, you know, I was clever. I was a survivor. Praise God. Very smart. Do you see that? No, I wasn't smart. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what was happening. I was not good. I was not smart. I was not strong. I was actually weak, stupid, and impotent. That's all. Isn't that amazing? So who saved me? My mother didn't. My grandmother didn't. My second father didn't try to stop me, because after all, it wasn't his. He actually helped my mom to abort me. My mom told me all about how it happened. He used to do exactly what they had to do to get rid of me. But it didn't work. So how smart was he? I outsmarted all of them. And my birth father, he didn't even know he had me. One night stand, he was gone. So there you have it. There's a worthless person. There is a piece of junk. Someone worth nothing. But God liked me. I mean, I don't know why. He just looked down and said, I see potential there. Isn't that funny? God just said, he's such a nasty little boy, but I love him. I'm gonna salvage him out. Isn't that amazing that God would want to salvage someone like me that no one else wanted? It was the end of my mother's life. My mother was very smart. She graduated from high school in 3 years, went to 17 high schools. And she was done in 3 years. She was the top of the top of the top. She had a career ahead of her, just a mile long. And by having this baby, it ruined her life. Third year of high school, she's graduating, and now her life is over. And she could have amounted to something. What a waste to throw away her life for me. Do y'all see that? That's God. That's God. God will take somebody worthless, worth nothing. Worth nothing. I mean, that is amazing. I love that story. It happens to be mine, but I like it. I like that story of somebody that was rejected of men, but chosen by God. I mean, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't even go to church for 11 years. First 11 years of my life, I didn't go to church. So that's 12 years if you count the, you know, when I was born. 1939, right on Thanksgiving night, because I remember my mother wore a yellow dress, and the guy she was babysitting for, his nephew or something or other, he came there, and that was it. And he remembers, because I talked to my dad, and he said, your mother was a good woman. That's funny. Don't you think that's funny? She was a good woman. How was that? Okay, I didn't say anything. Okay, cool. And not only that, she had a yellow dress. She was very pretty. Wow. I'm glad you didn't marry my mother, because my mother was hard to live with. She ran off the second husband right away. Of course, he was actually the first real husband, but the other guy was the real father. But then the third guy, Adolf Hitler, he was tough to live with too. And they didn't have a good time either. So you see, you can have a messy life, and if Jesus gets a hold of you, you can be happy for the rest of your days. I was a mess. I always was a mess. I never loved God. I never was moral. I was never clean. I never did the right thing. I never, ever, ever, ever in my life ever had the thought that this is a good thing, I'm going to do a good thing. Never had that thought. Never. I can tell you. I never had any guilt about lying, cheating, stealing, you know, whatever. I mean, I deliberately did all of my sins consciously, knowingly, no accidents. I deliberately did all kinds of treacherous things. Could God love such a person? You know, there's hope for you if there's hope for me. If I could get in, you could get in. And now here I am, a wonderful pastor. Well, skip the wonderful part. I'm a pastor. Oh, glory. I ran off all these people right here. I ran off these people. You know, just, I've ran off so many people, congregation after congregation. But I, you know what? I'm as happy as can be. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's it. That's it. That's it. Some of you have problems. You don't know what problems are. You're wrong. You don't know anything. What are problems? What are problems? If I told my story, yours is going to pale by insignificance. You don't know anything. Everything goes my way. Why? Because Jesus loves me. And I got grafted in. I didn't even do it. I didn't even help. I didn't even cooperate. Even after I became a Christian, I still swore. I still stole. I still was selfish and nasty and unloving and abusive. I was. Peggy used to ask me, well, now, you're a Christian, right? Yep. Jesus loves me. Well, and you're a pastor, right? Yeah. Well, do you really believe this stuff? Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, I think I believe it. I like the part about me sinning and him forgiven. That part's working really good because I'm doing my part and he's doing his part. I'm sinning, he's forgiving. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Isn't this the gospel? I don't know how pastors can turn this into something else. It's exactly what the Bible says, is God came for sinners. I did not come for the righteous. I came for sinners. That was me. I love it because it just seemed to be tailor-made for a person like me. And when he said, you shall be perfect, I skipped those verses. I skipped over them because I knew there was no contest on that. I'm already ruined. Because I understood that perfect meant never sin at all, and I'd already done a whole bunch, so that was too late. So now all I had to do is read on to see if there was anything else. Because I knew I had already messed up. Did anyone mess up early in life like I did? I mean, from the beginning, my mother even had stories about how when I was a baby, I rejected her, didn't, you know, whatever. I was a bad seed. I remember my mother telling me that. You know, even as a child, you were, you know, naughty or whatever. Well, I was proud of that. I loved that. I loved good. You were always a cold child. Good. I thought that was great. Y'all, you're feeling bad for my mother, I guess. I don't know who you're feeling bad for. I don't know. It's just normal. Jesus comes down. He likes me. He said, you cold little child, give here. And he just loved me as I was. Just as I am without one plea. I love that scripture. I love that. That's great. He loved me unconditionally. No conditions. All I had to do was sin, and I did. So I got in. So I got in. I said, Jim, do you want me to forgive all your sins? Do I have to stop sinning? No. I just want to forgive all your sins. You don't have to stop sinning. Oh, yeah. I'll take that. And then when you die, you'll go to heaven with me. Yeah, I'll take that. That's cool. Anything more? No, that's it. Wow, that's good. I don't think your people know this. I don't think your churches are teaching this. Really, I can sin and you forgive. Yeah, that's my job. That's my job, see? Yours, you do the sinning, I do the forgiving. Well, cool. That's a beautiful arrangement. Well, I love Jesus. Right away, I became a lover of Jesus. And I didn't change. I didn't stop sinning. How many know? I bet you can ask Peggy. I never made one effort to read my Bible, to pray, to be decent or anything. Nothing. I never made an effort at all. If she would say, stop, Jim, what you're doing is hurting. So? So what? You chose me. You're an idiot to choose me. How many of you know mom was an idiot to choose me, Dave? But she did. She liked me. I said, well, Peg, why did you like me if I was an embarrassment? Why did you marry me? And here was her answer. I don't know. Which is a way of encouraging a husband. That was her way of encouraging me. Why'd you marry me? I don't know either. I had no deep thoughts. No deep thoughts. I'm obviously not very clever. Well, you know what? Jesus forgives us everything. I don't know why I'm dwelling on this. I'm touching somebody here. Is there anybody here I'm touching? Because I must be touching somebody who has lived a very naughty life and realizes, you know what? Jesus loves me. I don't have to be miserable and try to work my way out and try to produce good fruit. I can just let Jesus do it all. Is there anybody here like that? One, two, three, four, five, six, okay, seven. That's powerful. So you seven people, listen up. Jesus not only forgives you, but he's the one that transforms you, changes you into his likeness and image so that someday you will be mature in Christ, exactly like Jesus, spirit, soul, body, and part of a perfect bride without any sin, spot, wrinkle, blemish, or anything that would detract because you're going home to Jesus and everything in heaven is perfect. You will be perfected. That's God's work. That's God's promise, not his command. You shall be perfect as I, the Lord, because I am perfect, I can make you perfect too. That's what he's saying. How many believe that? Not obey that, just believe that. Not obey it. I'm not saying how far you've gotten. Just do you believe that Jesus Christ doesn't lie and that he who is perfect wants you and his family who are imperfect, but that he will do all of the grafting in and the changing and the transforming and the discipling and the chastening and the teaching and the encouragement and the forgiving and the whatever it takes to bring you at length to a perfect bride. That is a miracle. That is greater than creating the world. To be able to take sinful man and turn him into a godly, saintly person, that's a miracle. And I would say everybody in this church is actually the same as I was. I mean, I'm sorry about that comparison. But I would say everybody here is equally as wicked as I was. It's just some of you lied more about it. Some of you were, you were raised with Christian parents or parents that thought you should be moral and good and clean. And even though, like me, I didn't even try. I wasn't rebelling. I just was naturally a bad seed, as my mother said. Did you ever? Thank you, Norman. Norman got a hold of that. Is there anyone else here who's a bad seed? Thank you. 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 I love it. I love it. But some people bad seed it by covering it up with some manure or something, so you can't see the bad seed because it's covered with manure. Jesus said, all your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's manure. I don't like it. I don't like it. I save sinners. I'm looking for people that aren't covered up. I'm going to say something else. God will never save a hypocrite. God does not save hypocrites. Hypocrites need to repent first and become wicked, in other words, be what they really are, and then he'll save you. The Pharisees were hypocrites and liars, and so Jesus did not come to save them until they admitted it. And that's why there's blindness to this day on the Jewish people as a whole, not individually, but as a whole. Jewish people today are still trying to please him. I hope there's nobody in this congregation who's trying to please God in your own power, juice, strength, wisdom. You can't do it. He's already done it. How could you add anything to what Jesus did? You cannot be more perfect than what he did. Therefore, all your goodness is prepaid. It's already paid. God is already in heaven looking down and seeing you in perfection just because you believed on Jesus and your faith was not dead faith, but was living faith that kept abiding in him. Just stay in him. Don't ever start doing good. Stay in him and the good will come out. The good will come out. Beholding him, we are changed. The more you look at him, the more the good will come out. The more you look at the good, the more you lose it. You weaken the union. Only look at how good Jesus is. He's the only one that's good. Then the goodness will come out of you. Why? Because it's Jesus coming out of you. It's not you. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Everybody can read the Bible, but you're going to read it upside down. You'll read it upside down. All the laws were for Jesus. All the promises are for you. All the laws are for Jesus. All the promises for you. You shall be perfect as I, the Lord, am perfect. That's for Jesus. This is yours. You shall be perfect because I, the Lord, am perfect. Sending Jesus to you, then the Holy Spirit to do it. He's the power. He's the mercy. He's everything. You will be holy as I'm holy. It's a promise by God. Did you know that you could be holy? I'm telling you, that is a killer. That will kill your natural man. When I first heard that, I mean, it was like a joke. I'll never be good. I don't want to be good. I'm not even going to try. I don't want to. It's too much work. And I know I'll end up a failure anyway. I'm just a natural sinner who loves it. And, you know, other people, they sin and they don't like it. I like it. I enjoyed it. I worked at it. I actually practiced in front of a mirror. I did. I would get in front of a mirror and look innocent. Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Yeah, it looks very innocent. There you go. And, you know, you can get away with a lot more stuff if you look innocent. Did you know that? Are you all aware of that trick? You know, some people look like they're bad. I mean, you just look at them and see, that person's bad. I always look good. I always look good. People always liked me at first. They didn't know what I was doing. They had no clue. I mean, Peggy, she fell for that too. She said, well, he's kind of funny. I think I'll try it. Then she found out what I was really like. Disregard the fact that for 5 years we went together and I did expose myself a few times as being unloving, nasty, abusive, and so on. What made you do it, Peg? Very clever. Did you think I was nice? You just a little clue, but you didn't count it. But you thought you'd be different. Yeah. You see, women are really easy to deceive. Did you all see that? It's just so easy. That was the oldest trick in the book. It was a line. You know, I know if you want something, the way to get it is don't be yourself. Fake it. And she fell for that. Isn't that powerful? Then she paid for the rest of her life. You don't see the humor. Listen to what she just said. Listen to what she just said. Listen. Say it again.
It's been worth it. Hallelujah.
How come? It's powerful. You see, God has nothing to do with Jim being good or bad. It has nothing to do with Peggy being good or bad, smart or dumb. It has nothing to do with you at all. It has to do with the love of God. It has to do with what kind of God you have. Do you have a mean, nasty God who's a judge trying to get you for sinning and keep you from sinning? Or do you have a father who loves you so much that even if you sin, he'll pay for it, he'll change you, he'll give you his own Holy Spirit to walk with you and talk with you, encourage you, transform you, and change you into his likeness and image? What kind of parent do you have? The issue is not about you at all. The issue is totally about him. Are you worried about a devil? That's God's devil. What can the devil do but lie? The devil is the one telling you you're no good. You should agree with your adversary quickly. You're right, Satan, but Jesus says, not you. Jesus says, I'm good. You're talking about under the law, but that's Jesus, and he already died for the under the law part. I'm under grace. What kind of God do you have? A God that's under law or a God that's under grace? What kind of God do you have? What kind do you want? Now, if you don't sin, you don't need that good God. But since I did, I did. Here's what the Bible says. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. I dare say no one loves God as much as I. I will just say it. Nobody loves God. I desperately need him. No human being loved me, but God sought me out. You know, I know that. I know that. And my mom cried when she told me about all the stuff that happened, as though, you know, she was troubled by it. And my father, when I first met my biological father, he right away, you know, said he was sorry that he hadn't raised me. Little did he know I was going, yes. Because he was mafia. He was one of Jimmy Hoffa's right-hand guys. I was so glad he didn't raise me. And when I saw that I had all these crazy sisters, one's in the loony bin, and I won't even tell you about the rest of them, but they all were crazy, I was happy that he hadn't raised me. I was pleased. And then the second one, I was glad he took off too. That was the one my sister, that was her father, but not mine. And the third one, Adolf Hitler, you know what? I thank God for him too. The one birthed me, the other one kept me going for a while, the other one finished me off. I thank God for all of them. They were great. That third one, we had probably 30 sentences in our whole life. That's probably exaggerating, but it might have been 32. But the truth is, we didn't talk a lot. His was just to spank you if you didn't do what he said. And that was great. I never had that before. Here was a guy that didn't want me to be good. He just wanted me to behave. And he just beat the tar out of me downstairs, go into the basement, take the belt off, and strap me, not until I was angry, but until I was scared. That's a good dad. I hated him. I hated him. Best thing ever happened to me. I thank God for that man. And I thanked him. I thanked each of my fathers. Tracked them down. One was in Florida. The other one was California. We went wherever we had to go to meet them each. And my father, the one Adolf Hitler, the last one, the last 8 years of his life, he asked, he said, how come you and Mom are happy? We're Christians. Well, I'm a Christian too. But I'm not a Christian like you guys. Well, that's because we sinned a lot and God forgave us and we accepted it. Well, I want to be like that. You can't be, I said. There's no way you can be a Christian like that. He said, what? Why? I said, it's because of your Masonic background. You're believing that you can be good, slit through people's throats and join together Judaism, Christianity, all kinds of things, put them all together. It's crazy stuff. The Bible says, let your yes be no and your no vows. All that stuff is nonsense. I didn't explain anything to him. I said, you'd have to renounce that. And you'd have to write a letter to him and tell him you were a Christian and no longer wanted to be part of the Odd Fellows and the, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. The next morning, my dad got up and he said, I did it. And I didn't even remember what we had talked about the night before because I didn't think it would count for anything. I just said it. Did what? I did it. And he handed me the envelope. Odd Fellows. You did it? He said, my whole dresser, I cleaned it out, burned all that stuff this morning. I am now a free man. I'm going to be a Christian. Now, he became a Christian. He said, I was always a Christian, but I could never grow. I could never mature. And I could never be happy like you guys. How did you do it? And I explained it. He and Mom had the happiest 8 years after that, before he died. It was powerful. First time they had a real marriage. Up until then, it was hell. It was hell. It was not fun at all. It wasn't neat. But, you see, a miracle. My mom found Jesus after all the stuff she had done. And I told her, it doesn't mean anything to me, Mom. Jesus saved me. I'm not mad. I'm not hurt. I'm not bitter. I'm none of that. I'm just glad I'm alive. But I know one thing. It wasn't because I was clever. It was because there's a God in heaven that loves me. You think someone that's been forgiven as much as I have wouldn't be grateful? I am. I get into a shower, I'm still grateful. We didn't have showers when I was a kid. We had no plumbing, nothing. We ate off the ground. I collected weeds, dandelions. You know, I didn't know they were a fancy restaurant thing. I thought they were just up out in the backyard that I had to cut. My grandmother showed me exactly how you cut those things so they keep producing more. Did you know dandelions grow fast? I'd go and cut the leaves off. And in a few days, they'd be back again. That was called salad. That was our greens. So we ate off the ground. We had a garden, World War II, middle of the war. Rations. No sugar, no this, no that, and so on and so forth. No butter, nothing. So that was a great way to grow up, to be totally deprived, to have nothing. I'll tell you what, I don't ever think about this, but I love that kind of background. I was a happy kid. I didn't know any better. We never went to church, so I didn't know about God being mad at you. I didn't know about anything. I didn't know about that stuff. All I do is you just sin and, you know, that's it. Just don't let your parents know what you're doing. It's cool. Now, God rescued me, changed me. I was the first one to ever go to school. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I got to go to the best schools in the world. I had scholarships to go to Heidelberg, Germany. I could have gone to Aberdeen, Scotland. I could have gone to Harvard. I could have gone to Yale. I could have gone to New York. I had 5 scholarships. Where did I get all that? Because I was a liar and a cheater and I never read a book till I was a junior in college, yet in 2 years, I was at the top of my class. How did that happen? It was amazing. And so I had all these scholarships. So I visited the three American sites, you know, Harvard. I didn't like it. It was too cold. Then I went visited the dormitory at Union Theological Seminary in New York, and I didn't like that. A lot of homosexuals hanging all over the rails, and I thought, well, I'm not one of those, so I'm not going to make it. I mean, where's my place? Where do I fit in? I mean, it doesn't bother me what they're doing. I don't want to do this. I want to learn about designing bulletin covers for churches. That was my goal in life, to design bulletin covers, because I was a very ambitious person. a deep thinker. And all I wanted to do was, I thought, well, I have this incredible art talent. I think what I'll do is design bulletin covers and you get paid for it. And I thought, most of the bulletin covers are pretty shabby looking. I will be the best bulletin cover person in the world. Because I had no lack of, you know, I was proud and arrogant. And I thought, if anybody can do it, I can do it. So I went to Yale to learn that. I had to learn about God. If you're going to paint a flower, you paint about 100 flowers and then you know what flowers are. Well, I never painted God, so I thought I'll go to God school, learn all about God. Well, while I was there, I started learning about God, and I thought, what an idiot this guy is. This God guy is crazy. He's got his stuff tied in the Bible, and nobody seems to even follow it. They're all hypocrites, and they're not even following what he wants. And I thought, I'm never going to be a Christian. I can't imagine anyone wanting to be one. Why would they say, forgive one another when they don't? Why would they say, be joyful in the Lord when they're not? You know, I mean, I don't think Christians are even paying attention to this guy, God. And fortunately, that year, Time magazine came out with the cover. I mean, it was a black cover with a yellow border. God is dead. And I thought, well, that helps. Because now what am I doing here? I'm going to paint bulletin covers for a God that's dead. I might as well just go to the cemetery and study gravestones because this guy's dead. And I just got started. Well, what happened was God supernaturally spoke to me. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in voices. But here I hear an out loud voice absolutely changes my life. Totally changes my life. Even though God was dead, for me, he was alive. Somebody had climbed a ladder and gotten up on the second story of Yale Seminary and spoke to me. And it was out loud. I heard the voice. And that's crazy people stuff. How many know that's crazy? Well, I don't care if it was crazy or not. I didn't even believe in it, but I heard it. I mean, what are you going to do? I heard it, and I thought, well, I must be wrong, because I looked around, and nobody else seemed to have heard that speaker. So I thought, wow, if there is a God, I'm in trouble. If there is a God, I'm in trouble. But fortunately, he kind of helped me out, because he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's all he said to me. In other words, here I am at Yale, trying to go to the top. I'm going to be the smartest person that ever lived. I'm going to get more degrees than any human being. Now, there's a guy that has 27, I understand. Now, I didn't know about him. But at that time, I only knew of a Jesuit who had 5 earned degrees. That means postgraduate. So I was going to get 7 to beat him because I thought he might try to get another one in the meanwhile. So I was going to get 7. And I was going to do 2 at a time because I'm very clever. I found out after I was a junior in college that I could read books. And I found out not only that, but I was clever at it. And not only that, I got A++. I was the top of the top of the top. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that was amazing. I didn't even know I was smart. And I thought, wow, I'm going to just go places. I'm going to the top. Has anybody been proud like that? Anybody proud like that? No one will admit it. But you were proud like that? Thank God. Who else was proud? I want to see the proud people. Oh, that's funny. You were as smart as me and clever and, you know. Now, one advantage I might have had over a lot of you is I had no scruples. I had none. I didn't have any God to hold me down or govern me. I had no morals. I had no conscience. I had no one watching me. No one ever watched over me. I could just do anything I want, when I want, how I want. It's a wonderful life. But does it lead to happiness? Absolutely not. Nevertheless, I was happy-go-lucky. I didn't care. Till God met me. That day when God spoke to me through the second window on the second floor, it ruined my life. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I believed that, but it went right through me. Went right through me, penetrated me in such a way that I knew that I knew that I knew. I have to know if there's a God. I have to know if there's a God. And where would I find out? If I went to a church, do the churches know God? Where would I find out? Where would you meet God? Here I am at the best seminary in America, Harvard, Yale. I got the best. But I don't think anybody believes in God anymore. I think he's gone. And, you know, that was sad in the 60s. This was the early 60s. I mean, it was over. And here I am starting when everyone else is quitting. They were throwing their stuff in the trash. I was going picking it up. Yeah, they don't believe in God anymore. You know, and I thought, I'm just getting started. I had a voice. I was going crazy. But that was all right. I was used to being a loser and a loner. No problem. Is anybody else here a loser and a loner? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are losers. That is funny. This is a church of losers. I'll tell you, if you amount to something, you should go somewhere else. This is for losers, cripples, people that are failures, people that can't make it. Amen? I believe there's a few more losers in here who didn't raise your hand. What losers you are, you can't even admit you're a loser. But here's God. Here's God. He comes down, he looks at him, he goes, I love these people. I just love these people. Jesus, you go down and die for them, forgive all their sins. And not only that, I know that many of them are going to take it. And God knows actually who's going to take it and who's not. He knows you'll take it and drop it and take it and drop it and take it and drop it, but he knows how you'll end up. She loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not. He knows how it ends. So God designed the world exactly to bless you. I didn't finish the scripture, did I? No. Okay. Didn't finish the scripture. This is a powerful scripture. Listen to this. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, you might become like God. You might actually be made out of, constructed out of God. Having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. That was me. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So, the first thing you add is virtue. Count that. Say virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Say knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add charity. Now, if these eight fruits of faith be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you've only been grafted in, but you never see virtue and knowledge and so on and so forth, if you never see that, there's something wrong here. This faith, you are to be fruitful in it. You are to be perfected on earth, not in heaven, but on earth, you are to be perfected in this, that somebody can benefit by what God did in you, through you, for you, with you, so that men can see it. They can't see your faith. Nobody can see this graft. It's hidden. This is hidden. Nobody can see it. But God sees it. But the way you know it's there is because the fruit can't come out. This proves who you are. Nicodemus said to Jesus, we know that you're a teacher sent from God because no one can do the deeds that you do unless God be with him. So if you do that kind of fruit, then you have to be that kind of person. So you are a new tree. And Peter is saying, when God saved you, he never saved you just to save you. He saved you in order to sanctify you, crucify your old man, bring forth fruit in such abundance that everyone would give God the glory because of your life. I believe my life is glorious. I really don't care because I don't look at it. I never look at it. I'm not looking at it. But I believe that people in Russia, people all over Africa, people in China, I believe people all over this world, in Israel, every place that I've gone, have been blessed They still get the tapes. They translate the books and so on and so forth. And they're being set free. All kinds of demonic people are set free from demon things. People that are physically sick are healed. People that are poor suddenly realize that God wants them not to be miserable and just to be slaves in this world, but to be set free, to have a full and abundant life. I believe that's all part of the fruit. And I don't even know about it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm certain of it when I get there. And I imagine there'll be a few people from this church that I blessed.
Amen.
Is there anybody here that I've blessed?
Amen.
Anybody? One, two, three. Oh, praise God. Wow. You can say that already? You haven't even finished yet. You're unfinished. But I believe that someday you'll see how powerful God is. He never loses. Satan never wins. He never loses. Satan never wins. God never loses. Not even one battle. Not even one soldier is ever lost by God. I don't know if you know that. No matter what, if you have this understanding that I have, if you understand that you always win in God, He always leads me in triumph, the Bible says. Well, always is always. That means you're in triumph right now. Somebody should stand up and say right now, I know that I'm in absolute triumph and victory, no matter how it appears. I know I'm in triumph.
Amen.
It may appear like I'm being downtrodden and abused and beaten, but I am in Christ. I'm not in trouble. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and you belong to me. I'll tell you, that's powerful. That's powerful. I also know there's at least 100 marriages in Dallas that would not be married today. I met several of them today. At least 100 that are married today, happy in Jesus because of the ministry that God has done through me. I didn't do it. I just said whatever He said to say. I just did whatever He said. But I guarantee you, 100, at least 100 are going to be there, and their children are the beneficiaries of that. Once you save a marriage, you've saved a family. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to do it. He does it. I believe if you don't touch the individual, you can't touch the family. If you don't touch the family, you can't touch the church. If you don't touch the church, the world is in trouble. I believe today the world's in trouble. And that's because the church is not the church. The church has become a harlot rather than a pure, spotless bride. That's because the families are not being restored as they ought to be. A man this morning told me, I sell diamond rings in Dallas. He said, half of the rings that come back within a short period of time are the failures. And he said, they give me 6 different reasons why their marriage didn't work. And I witness to every one of those and say, that's not a reason, that's not a reason, that's not a reason, that's not a reason, that's not a reason. It's powerful. He's going to California this week to perform a wedding out there in the what they call the Big Valley, where all of the wine is produced, and he's going to perform a wedding out there. It'll be powerful. There is no such thing as a failure marriage. There's only you giving up. There's only you not believing Jesus. You can't fix anything. Let Jesus fix it all. You have the best life in the world. Nobody could have a better life than you. Why are you complaining? God created you. He redeemed you. He restored you. And He gave you Pastor Jim. What could you complain about? Oh, sorry about that last part. I just threw that in. But you are blessed beyond measure, and the best has been saved to the last. Did you know that the best hasn't even come yet? We haven't even seen the full harvest yet. You go all over the world today, you will see Hindus coming to Jesus, Muslims coming to Jesus. You will see atheists coming to Jesus. You will see murderers coming to Jesus. You will see Baptists, Buddhists, everybody can come. Just because you go to a church doesn't mean anything. You have to be born again, filled with the Spirit, and then led by the Holy Spirit, no longer living your own life. We aren't done yet until we're done. The fat lady hasn't sung. It's not over. God has yet to bring about, before His return, the full restoration of Israel. I believe that God will restore the nation, not just a few individuals. The nation Israel will turn and say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. I believe that Israel itself is being prepared right now for the last furnace, the 7th furnace. God only saves out of a furnace, out of affliction, out of trouble, out of chastening. And God will pull them out of the flames, their flesh dead and their spirit man purified. I believe that God will purify the sons of Levi. I believe that God will rescue His people when they cry out of the fire, God, forgive us, we sinned against You. It isn't the bad guys that got us here. It's you who said, turn to me and I will pull you out. And God is about to pull out his people, a purified Jewish church that is more pure than even the Christians that today inhabit his churches. We were to make Israel jealous by our mercy. We didn't even understand it ourselves. We still teach legalism instead of true holiness. We still teach the power of man to do stuff rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. We are still doing our own thing rather than God doing everything. You don't have to cooperate with God. You can resist him all you want. He's still going to win. And he loves you, but he will not force you. If you don't want to be part of what he's doing, you don't have to believe in him. But once you start believing in him, it's going to ruin your life. I'm telling you, you won't be the same. So be careful. Don't listen real close to what I'm saying, because it might get a hold of you, and then you'll start believing, I could be a woman of God. I could live my life not in materialism and, you know, trying to control my husband and wife and so on. I could actually be a godly man or a godly woman. 100% so that when he comes back, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. How many know you're going to hear those words someday? You're going to hear those words, not because how good you were, but how good God is. Not because you got a hold of it, but because he got a hold of you. Not because you understood, but because he understood. You see, God wants to give you everything as a free gift. And people amazingly want to stay in the darkness. They want to continue their sins. They want to continue to believe God is a bad God, that he's mean, that he's nasty, that he's a judge who hates you. He's not. He's a loving father that would send his only begotten son to die for all your sins and then give you the Holy Spirit and then transform you and change you into his likeness and image so that you can have that patience, that kindness, that virtue, all those fruits that God wants you to have. That's a gift. Take it. Just take it. Say, Lord, I don't deserve it. I'll just take it. I don't want to deserve it. I'll just take it. I've sinned, but I'll take it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. God is great. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. There's more. Don't think it's over. The best has been saved to the last. God always saves the best wine to the last. When everybody is, you know, all they got left is water, that's when God suddenly turns the water into wine. I believe President Obama, no matter what, I believe he's going to be mightily used of God. Yes. Yes. It doesn't make any difference what his philosophies are and everything. I was once an idiot too. In fact, he went to the same kind of schooling I went to. And they have all kinds of idiot teachings. But God can touch anybody at any time and transform them. And because of a goofed up background like he had, you never know what he's going to do. And the fact that the liberals and leftists hope that he will, you know, trillionize us into debt is possible. But it's also possible that God can get a hold of him. And I'll tell you what, the issue lies with us, not with him. The issue lies with us. We bless him. We don't curse him. He is the president. Doesn't matter what you think. And God's not through. God is in total charge. I don't think he's after the world. I think he's after the church. I don't think judgment begins in the world. I think it begins in the church. We are the fault. We are the lack of light. We are the reasons why we're in trouble. Not Republican, Democrat, independent, all that nonsense. The problem is the church being the church. But God doesn't want you to do a thing. He just wants you to see what he's doing and let him do it. Agree to it. Just, God, do it. Do it. But don't believe that something evil is going to happen to this world. Something good is happening to this world. God wants to bring us out from the destruction that will come to this world. It'll burn up someday. But that's only the bad stuff. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. I believe right today there are very few leaders, if any, in the world. I believe there's very few pastors who aren't ambitious and greedy and lustful and so on. Nevertheless, I believe God has saved the best till today. And you're going to see things only because of what he has said in his word. He cannot say a word and then not do it. He's going to have virtue, and he's going to have knowledge, and he's going to have all of those things that are fruits of the Christian walk and of your faith that are part of the things that accompany salvation. So why could it not be here? Who cares whether it happens somewhere else? Just start here. Let's say start with you today. Just say, Lord, if no one else got this today, let it be for me. Let it be for me. I know I didn't preach what I was going to preach today at all. I preached something else, and I didn't plan that at all. But I know the Holy Spirit did. I don't know who it's for. I don't know why I said it. But I know one thing. Somebody's here today that God disregarded everybody that was here and said, for that one person, this message is going to set them free. So I don't know who you are. I believe, though, that you don't know how loving God is. Maybe it's just Suzanne. You know, whatever it is, whatever God does, it's always good. And it's always for you. He's never good for himself. He's always good for you. He's never good for himself. He's not needing something. He's got everything. But he's wanting you to be included, grafted in. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Doesn't work through angels. He works through people like us to accomplish his great things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. This is truly the day you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. All things are truly working together for the good of them, us, that love the Lord, and we do. We do love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We love you because you're a great and good God. We love you because you have no harm in store for us. Even that which looks like harm is actually secretly a blessing in disguise. I thank you, Lord God, that the devil is not going to get any victories, and we are in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, in your will, in your purpose. It's your pleasure to give us the kingdom. So we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said, and now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, his face, upon you. May the Lord give you all his peace. May he shine upon you. Put his face as a smile toward you. And give us his peace, his shalom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.